Amen. I'm so glad that we can be still and just let Him have it. Amen. Knowing that He is more than able to take care of any situation. Amen. Amen. No matter how big the storm, how big the mountain, our God is bigger tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. God bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord. We had to take a little detour to get in here, but I guess that's all part of the process, right? Got to make a little mess to get things straightened out. Amen. That's how the Lord works in our lives sometimes. Sometimes it has to take a... hang out the under construction sign and it makes a big mess, but in the end he's building a wonderful stature of a perfect man. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, we just got some text from Brother Baker here not too long ago. They arrived safely in Los Angeles and made it through customs, and so they'll be flying back to Tucson tonight and arrive late this evening. So just remember them in your prayers if you would. And I'm sure they had a real nice time, but this much I know, when Brother Doug gets back, he hits the ground running, and he's already got things lined up for right away. So just continue to pray for him, amen, and just that he would be just rejuvenated in his spirit. Amen. How many love the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. You glad to be here on a Wednesday night? Amen. God is so good to us, isn't He? Amen. And there's we can show, in a little way, we can show that we love Him just by coming to service and being at our post of duty and showing it's a statement that this is important to us. Amen. That this is our life and this is priority. Amen. So it's good to be here tonight. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and invite you to turn in the scripture to Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And in the New Living Translation on that 13th verse, just says it a little different way that might help us here tonight. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we love you so much tonight, Lord. And Lord, we're excited to be at church tonight, Lord. And no doubt it was a struggle for each one of us to get here in the natural. Father, we've gone through the busyness of the midweek, Father, but many obstacles perhaps to get here, natural, physical, spiritual, whatever they may be, Lord. But we're here, Lord, reporting to our post of duty because we know that this is your provided way, Lord. And that, Lord, you promised that you would come and meet us here and that you would give us our daily bread and, Lord, that you would speak to us. And, Father, that we would be blessed by your presence. And not only that, Lord, that we would bless you and have fellowship with you and worship you. So, Lord, I just pray tonight as we just transition, Lord, to the preaching of the word, Lord, that you would be glorified, Lord, that you would speak through your word, Father, that it would be a mighty two-edged sword tonight that would go and just divide asunder, Lord, between the soul and spirit, Lord. Show us the spiritual, Lord, and show us the natural, and make the gray places black and white and evident for us, Lord. Show us truth and show us the errors, Father. And Lord, that's what we need in this hour, Lord. It's a lukewarm age that we live in, Father. And Lord, we need to be on fire, Lord. And so I just pray that you would touch our hearts tonight, Lord, as we just commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the subject of willing and able. Willing and able. That scripture here in Philippians says that He will both give you the will and He will give you the able. He will give you the power. Amen. So when many times, you know, I was thinking about traveling or sometimes when you're asked to do something that has legal ramifications, something very important, such as when you're traveling and they have on an airplane, they have the exit rows, right? They have and if you're like me, you like to get the exit rows because you've got lots of leg room. And so those are sought-after seats, but whenever anybody sits in those exit rows where those emergency exits are on the airplane, before they get underway, the stewardess will always come through and ask the people sitting in those exit rows, they'll tell them what they expect of them, right? In an emergency, you'll need to do this and this and this and da-da-da. And then they'll ask them, after all of that, they'll say, are you willing and able to fulfill this duty? And you'll answer yes or no. And if you're not, they'll reseat you. They'll move you someplace else. But if you say, yep, I'm willing and able to do it, then they'll let you stay there, believing that you're good to your word. And so tonight we want to speak about that concept of being willing and able. So Philippians promises us that God will fulfill both of these requirements in us. It's two requirements. One, that you have the desire or the will. And the second is that you have the power or the ability. You know, when we've spoken before about healing, we've said that it's not hard for us to believe that God has the power to heal. But many times we struggle with the fact that God wants to heal us in that situation. And both must be present. You must have the will and the ability. You must be willing and able. Just to have the ability or the power to do something doesn't mean you're going to do it. Right? Doesn't mean that that's your desire to take that ability and apply it in that situation. And just because you're willing to do something, maybe you're not able to do it. You know, many times our prophet would say, if I could heal you, I would. Right? I would surely do it. What kind of a person would I be if I wouldn't heal you? Right? But I can't. Jesus Christ is the healer. But it takes both. You must be willing and able. So in this scripture in Philippians, Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that word there where it says work out, it means to carry out to its final conclusion. To bring it to complete fruition, right? To produce something. So work out your own salvation. Take it out all the way to the finality of it, right? So this only happens when we can surrender both our will and our ability to Him. Once we can do that, then we can work out our salvation. Amen? Surrendering both to Him, our will and our ability. Too many times we don't surrender to His will so that we can receive His ability. Right? We want to have the ability well in hand. I want to see that I can get through this, I can make it through this before I step out into His will. But many times that's not the way God works. He works on the will first, and then He comes back and provides the ability. Amen? That's why it's willing and able. Not able and willing. Amen? Some of the greatest victories in the Bible are impossible situations where there was no ability to perform God's will. Right? In the individual. You know, you can just go through the Bible. It's all through. You know, men in the Old Testament, Shamgar, Samson, Moses, all of these men where there was no ability. But they were willing to step out and trust God. And then God brought the power to them. David had seemingly very little ability against Goliath, right? We all know that story. But he said God had delivered him out of the paw of the lion. God had, now he didn't say, I delivered myself, right? With my great skill with a sling. And no doubt David probably practiced with that sling. And no doubt David had a natural ability with that sling. Right? You see how that works. God gave him some natural skills and abilities. He had to be able to use it at some level. Right. But yet then he said, God used that and delivered me out of the paw of the lion. And he delivered me out of the paw of the bear. And he said, and I know, I don't know how, he did it before, but I know he's going to deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Hallelujah. Think about the power that we are missing out on because we aren't willing to step out into the will of God. We're waiting to see that the power is there before we step out and throw the stone. But David said, I believe in the God who took me through this and through that. And yes, I've got some natural ability with a sling, but I can't do it in my natural ability alone. It's going to take the power of Almighty God. Amen. Think about that. Peter didn't know he could walk on water. Right? What ability did he have? What Peter had was a willingness to step out. When Jesus said, come on. He was willing. He said, Lord, I don't understand this, but I'm willing. You said to do it. I'm willing to step out. And as soon as he stepped, God made him able. God made him able to walk on water. He didn't even have any Bible precedent for that. He just saw what Jesus was doing and said, Lord, I want to be like you. And Jesus said, that's fine, Peter. Come on. So David, he picks up his stone. Five of them. And he begins to step out on faith. He didn't look at his own ability. If David had looked at his own ability, he would never would have stepped out before Goliath. Look what Brother Branham said in Marriage and Divorce. He said, Jesse, his wife, all of them looked around and said, yes, our oldest son, he's a great, tall, handsome man. Right? David could have said, hey, my brothers are more qualified than me to stand before this giant. Saul, our great king, in his armor. But something had risen up in him, right? He said, our great, tall, handsome man, he will look just right for the king's crown. He's smart, he's educated, he's a fine man. I know he'll be just right. He speaks his words proper. So when they brought him out, Samuel took the cruse of oil and went towards him, and he said, no, the Lord refused him. So he went all the way down to six sons, and the Lord refused every one of them. He said, isn't there another one? Oh, he said, yes, there's one, and he's back out there herding the sheep, and he just sits back there and plays songs and sings it and shouts and goes on. But he's a little old stoop-shouldered, ruddy-looking guy. He would never make a king. Amen. Right? They were looking at ability. Amen. Natural ability. He said, go get him. And when David come in the sight of the prophet run with the oil and poured it upon his head and said, this is God's chosen. Not pretty, but character. God looks at character. Amen. So thankful for that. Amen. He's not looking for pretty. I may not have ability. You may not have ability. But David didn't need ability. He just needed five stones. F-A-I-T-H. And G-R-A-C-E. Amen? And he just had to take those five stones and just do a natural act. He had to start that stone flying. Right? That was his natural ability at work. Surrender to the will of God. Stepping out on faith, he took his natural ability and started the stone flying. But somewhere between David's sling and Goliath's head, God got a hold of that stone. Amen? And then he took over with his ability. And he took what little ability David had and he multiplied it. Amen? The Bible is full of men and women who had no ability, who possessed no power in their particular situation, but they surrendered to his will, and he supplied the power. I'm so thankful for that tonight. I know that my part is just to let him supply the ability. Amen? I want to ask you, when you think of prophets of the Old Testament, the greatest prophets, who do you think of as the most successful? We've got Moses, who wrote the first 5 books, right? We've got Isaiah, who wrote the whole Bible in 66 chapters. We've got Jeremiah, who wrote a big portion of the scripture, right? These great prophets. And then you've got a man who preached a one-sentence sermon and converted an entire nation. Right? The whole city-state of Nineveh repented because Jonah went and preached a one-sentence sermon to them. Repent, God's going to burn you all. Right? You're all going to die. Wow, Jonah, what a sermon. Right? The judgment of God is coming. Repent or perish. That was his whole sermon. He didn't come to him with some intellect, you know. Right? Jonah had no ability of his own. I mean, nothing. And Jonah had a problem surrendering at first. Is that right? But once he surrendered to the will of God, then God provided the power to Jonah. He provided the ability. So Jonah could walk up there and preach a one-sentence sermon and have the entire nation repent with sackcloth and ashes. More people responded to his altar call than any other prophet in the written Old Testament. This is what Brother Branham said in A Man Running from the Presence of God. He said, remember where Jonah went. God was in the boat. God was in the storm. God was in the fish. He went on being right along with Jonah until his perfect will was done. He just guided him right into it. Amen? He said, that's right. And if he's ever after you, you might dodge over here and dodge over there, but you'll be miserable until you come back and do the thing you started out for him to do at the first place. See? Don't go run from the presence of God. Face up to it. You believe it's the truth. And if it is the truth, it's worth living for and dying for. And anything else. And if he's ever vindicated it to you that it is the truth, then we can't run from it nowhere. He'll be right there just the same. You can't do it. By his provided prophet, the one he ordained to go down there and call that message. See, that was his will. That was Jonah's job. Right? God had given him that. He expressed his will to Jonah. And all of that, whole part of that book, that first part of the book of Jonah, is Jonah coming into subjection to that will. Getting lined up with it, right? He says he ordained him to go down there and call that message. Now, it looked like he could have sent another prophet, but he ordained Jonah. And even Elijah wouldn't have done. Jeremiah wouldn't have done. Moses wouldn't have done. It was Jonah that had to go to Nineveh. And that's all there was to it. He commissioned him and told him to go. And when he says, go there, Jonah, go to Nineveh, nobody else can go. Do that but Jonah. And when God tells you something, you've got to do it. Nobody else. See, we just have to face up to it and go do it. whether you feel prepared for it or not. Whether you feel like you have an ability to do it or not. Whether you think that you have a gift or any kind of strength or whatever. That wasn't what God was looking for. He was looking for obedience to His will. And once Jonah got there, look at what God did. Amen? Hallelujah. He's looking for surrender. When the children of Israel came through the wilderness and they went over and they sent those spies over into the land, and God had called them to that land. That was their land. That was the land of promise. That was God's will for them to go into that land and possess it. And the spies came back. You know the story. And many of them said, "We can't do it. They're giants. We aren't able to do it." And Joshua and Caleb stood up and they said those notable words, "We are more than able." Why? They weren't looking at their ability. They were looking at the will of God. Amen. Christ is the mystery of God revealed, he says. Sorry. God's power to transform. Now remember Israel, the borderline, when God gave them a promise over in the Holy Land, that in the land it was good of milk and honey. And when Moses sent out Caleb and Joshua and the spies to go over, spy out the land, they brought back vindicated evidence. The 10 of them said, "We cannot do it. We are unable." And you know what? In and of themselves, they were right. If they were looking at their own ability, they were right. Look at the difficult there. We'll be fanatics. We got these little bitty things to fight with. Look at what they got. We can't do it. We're not able to do it. And Joshua and Caleb said, "We are more than able to do it. God made the promise." Remember, they turn back. That was at Kadesh Barnea. They turn back and become wanderers in the wilderness, and every one of them died and is lost eternally. Jesus said so. Don't cross that separating line. When you know to do good and doeth it not, it to you it's sin. See, God wants to do something in your life. God wants to use you. God wants to manifest through you. And when you say, "No, I can't do it," you're telling God, "No, your will won't be done in my life. You're not powerful enough to manifest that in me." Because you're looking at your ability. He sends you to do something, "Lord, I can't do it." Well, you're right in a way. But the Bible says that through Christ, I can do all things. And Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says it depends on where you're born from. If you're born from the Word of God, God's Word has the preeminence in His church. That's what He died for. That's His purpose, that He might be able to achieve to have His preeminence working in His church. Let the Word of God shine forth first. No matter anything else looks like it, I don't care if the intellectuals say this, that, or the other. It has nothing to do with it. God's Word said so, and we're more than able to take it. If I preached that in my church, a minister told me I'd be preaching to four posts in the church. I said, "I'd preach to that. God's Word said so. We can do it. God said, do it. Amen." Amen. Think about what we're saying when we say, "No, Lord, I can't do that." Right? And maybe you buy into the lie that the spies bought into. That says, you know, "Well, look, I mean, let's be reasonable. You do have little bitty swords. And you are like grasshoppers to them. And you are little," you know, all these things that made perfect sense. But didn't account for the power of the living God. Joshua and Caleb stood up and they said, "We are more than able." And they had no evidence of that ability. No evidence. Other than they were walking in the will of God. They knew that God had sent them. And God had told them to do it. And when they first stepped into Jordan, the priest began to carry the ark over. What happened? The water parted. Went up in a heap. Right? The power of the ability began to manifest as soon as they stepped into the will of God. They began to see the supernatural that God was with them. And God was with them every step of the way, providing the ability and the power to do His will. Brother, sister, we are more than able to take a rapture in this age. But it's going to take a surrender to His will, and it's going to take stepping out and believing, stepping out by faith before we see the power. Amen? It's the same way with any promise of God. Brother Branham said, and the Bible says, that we are overcomers of this world. And he said that the world means sin and unbelief. So you can overcome sin and unbelief because that's what God has called you to do. It has nothing to do with your ability to overcome sin and unbelief. First you have to will, and then He makes you able. I want you to think a moment for a little bit here about how the disciples of Jesus were called. We were discussing this in our Sunday school class. We were talking about the calling of Elisha and how God calls different people through the ages and how Jesus went around calling His disciples. All right, He just walked up to them and said, "Follow me." What would you do if somebody did that? He walked up to them and He said, "You, follow me." He didn't say, "Look, Peter, let's sit down for a minute and discuss your qualifications. Let's talk about what's going to be expected of you as a disciple. Let's talk about my vision and my goals," and right? It wasn't anything like that. "Let's talk about how you might contribute." Right? "What are your individual gifts and talents and abilities, and how can we use those for the kingdom of God? And how can we fit that into my ministry? And let me talk to you about my ministry and what we're going to be..." Follow me. Peter had no idea what he was getting into. He didn't know where they were going or what they were doing. He was just following. Think about that, man. Left his nets and followed. What were they expressing? A willingness. Not an ability. They weren't saying, "Lord, you know, I think that I'd be a good disciple because, you know, I can do this for you and I can help you with that." And it had nothing to do with it. They didn't even know what they were going to be doing. They were willing to follow. He said, "Follow me." And they said, "Okay." Now, we know that something was moved them to do that. Amen. Right? There was a receiver. Right? That when that signal was transmitted, there was something on the inside that went... Right? But it didn't have anything to do with, "What are we going to be doing? What's my..." Right? Later, those same disciples were given ability... Jesus gave them power over the demons. Is that right? When He sent them out two by two, He gave them power over evil spirits. In so much that the Bible says that they rejoiced that they were able to cast demons out and that they had been given this power. Is that right? But Jesus said, "Don't rejoice in the ability. Don't rejoice in the power, but rejoice that you're walking in the will of God. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Amen? Because that's where the power and the ability flows from. They were willing, so God made them able. Rejoice in your position and submission, that there's something in you that's willing to submit to the Word of God. Because, brother, sister, not everybody has that. Not everybody is a sheep. Right? A goat does not submit its will. But the nature of a sheep, you should thank God that there's something in you that wants to submit to the will of God. Because when you do that, then God makes you able. Amen. Hallelujah. Read you another little quote here. Is that the one we're on? Now then, and if your spirit is willing. That's a big if. Right? This is in a prayer line. This is in a situation where it's battling spirits. He says, now if your spirit is willing. He says, but if you have a spirit of unbelief, then it can't bless you. See, it'll just tell you. It might tell you what's wrong in something and just send you on. But if you believe that these two spirits can get together, see, it's a battle. He said, here a demon's crying, begging, pleading like that. And here's the Spirit of God standing here looking at it. Now, it just depends on the way our spirits are running. I believe. If I can get you to believe what I said is the truth, then something's going to happen. See, it has to happen. You see, what matters is our willing spirit, he said. If your spirit is willing, if you have a spirit of surrender and submission to the Spirit of God, then that unleashes the power of God. That brings the power and ability. Amen? We must never become prideful in that ability that He provides us. Amen? It comes from Him. It's all Him. In fact, confidence in our own abilities is one of the biggest hindrances to a Christian. Is that right? It can make you ineffective when you have too much confidence in your own ability. Even if those abilities come from the Lord, and all do, right? Even if you've got a natural gift or a natural talent, you got that from the Lord. But if you have confidence in that instead of His strength in you, it can be a great hindrance to you. I'm going to read you a quote here that's fairly lengthy, but this is the heart of the matter here. And Brother Doug's read this to us before, but it's fitting tonight. Perfect strength by perfect weakness. He says, notice, it takes the weakest and the rejected. In other words, those that have no ability, no evident ability at all, right? He says, and practically every hero God ever had on the front line was that type of person. A person that was rejected, a person that was thought he was insufficient, a person that had no ability at all. I kind of relate to that, amen? Then that person's just in good shape so God can start using him. That's right. When they feel like that they can't, that they haven't got nothing, that's when God can take a hold of them and do something with them. See, but when we are thinking that we are able to do it, then God can't use us. Because we're wanting to do it ourselves. And then on the other side, we get these feelings and we think that we're insufficient and we don't want to do it then. But then if we'll just listen to the call of God, that's the very thing that God wants us to get into, that kind of shape, so that He can. He's just looking for willing vessels. When we are insufficient ourselves, then we are subject to yield to God's Spirit. As long as we think we can do it, then we can't do it. But when we get to a place where we know we can't do it, then we yield ourselves to God, and He does it. So then if it's us trying to do it, we'll fail. But if we'll just yield ourselves to God, God can't fail. So thankful. This is simple tonight, but it's powerful. Amen. If we can apply, we can get a hold of this in our lives. He said there's only one thing that God cannot do, and that's fail. He can do anything else but fail, but he cannot fail. So as long as we are trying in ourselves and depending on our own abilities and so forth, well, we will do nothing. But when we get to a place where we know we're nothing, then God can use us. He says the important thing, or one of the important things, that we must master. We must master this. Now remember this, and especially you young preachers and lay members alike, there's one thing we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. That is, we have to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to a spot where we think we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. Now that takes a press sometimes. Because we have natural abilities. That takes a surrender. That takes prayer. Amen? He says, make a complete surrender. We cannot use one ability. We've got to make a complete surrender. And to come to God, you've got to surrender to Him both soul, body, and spirit. Everything that you are has to be surrendered to God in order that He can work His will in you and me. Now that's hard. I know. Because we're always wanting to put our part in something that we know. Something we know what we want to do it. And brother, sister, many times we can do it. It's something that we can do, or we've done before. But we go off without God. We say, well, I just know how it should be done this way. But as long as you're doing it that way, it's going to be wrong, and God will never use that effort. Maybe with the help of the Lord, we're going to get into that in a few minutes and just show you how God cannot use your ability. My. So we know that God places gifts, talents, abilities in our lives, right? And when we become a Christian, that doesn't change, right? When we're born again, we still have gifts, talents, abilities. But what happens is our desire to use those abilities changes. We desire, instead of using it for ourselves, we desire to use those natural abilities for the Lord. And that's a good desire. And Brother Branham is not saying that God will never use your natural ability. What he's saying is that you have to completely surrender your natural abilities. Amen? Let's use David again as an example. David was a naturally gifted leader of men. He inspired amazing loyalty. Right? If you look at the men that were under David and how they went out into the wilderness to him, and God had used him and gave him a gift to lead men. Men that would fight through miles of Philistines just to get a drink of water for David. Right? He had a gift of leading men. But when he misused that gift, he caused the murder of Uriah. Through loyalty of his men. Right? Simon the sorcerer in the New Testament, right? He saw the gifts that were in the apostles' lives and he wanted that gift. Right? But they said, look, you're a child of the devil. This gift is not for sale. This ability comes from God. This is to be surrendered to Him, to be used for His will. Amen? So the trouble is many times, it's not so much in using our abilities to do something sinful or wrong. It's just that we put so much trust in our abilities that we're not trusting Him any longer. We're not surrendering those abilities to His leading. Instead, we lean on our own strength instead of leaning on Him. Right? If you are naturally, and I'm not saying I am, please don't misunderstand, but if you are a preacher and you are naturally gifted at speaking in front of people, the tendency would be to lean on that natural ability instead of somebody like me who has no natural ability, and I have to lean on the Lord. Right? It's, you cry out on your knees, oh God, help me. Amen? Amen? He wants us to lean on Him. So we can have the ability to preach. We could have the ability to play a musical instrument. We could be persuasive. We could have the ability to talk to people about the Lord. Right? We could have the ability to help others. We can have the ability of just lending an ear or talking to someone or giving advice or just being a friend. We have of praying and so on and so forth. But all of these abilities must be harnessed. And they must be subject to the will of God. And they must be under submission to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. We can have knowledge and skills and experience. It can be something totally that seems totally natural to us. Well, I know how to do this. I don't know how. Brother Mike probably doesn't even know how many services he's led singing in. Lost count by now, right? Been doing it for a lot of years. Has a natural ability. He could probably get up and do it in his sleep, if you know what I mean. Right? Brother Kenny could probably play the songs, you know. He could do it with his eyes closed and in his sleep. He could totally check out. Right? But that is not what God is looking for. What He's looking for is those brothers to surrender that ability, right, that gift, and surrender it to God, and then move in the way that the Holy Spirit is leading them to do it. Not lean on their ability to do it, because they can do it. Right, and it's the same way with, you know, your daily living. Well, I know how to do this because I've done it before. I've done it a million times, all right? But maybe God wants you to do it a little different this time. Or maybe He doesn't want you to do it right now. Maybe He wants you to do this later. Right? And there are things that we could be doing that are not, they're perfectly fine and not sinful, and God, it's not the timing. And so we have to be prayed up. We have to bring our abilities subject to the leadership of God. Samson had abilities, but Brother Branham said that we know he was gifted with strength, but he said that Samson gave his strength to the Lord, but not his heart. Right? In the message, Lamb and Dove, he said not long ago reading of Samson and how that man, he was something a lot like today, a ladies' man, and God could never use him. Why? He was willing to submit his strength to the Lord, in other words, his abilities, right? But never willing to give his heart to the Lord. In other words, his will. He wanted to govern the God-given strength, miraculous God-given talent, right? Because he also said in another place that he was a scrawny little guy, right? It wasn't that he was ripped with big muscles. It was a supernatural strength. It was a supernatural gift. And so he said, okay, I'll give that to God, but he's not going to have my will. So Brother Branham says he had great strength, and many churches today will lend their strength to the Lord. Oh, sure, we will build an organization that will put a million in it and do all this and that and the other, but you're never willing to surrender your heart for divine leadership of the Holy Spirit to lead us to the fountains of the waters of life. We're never willing to do it. It seems like it's the hardest thing for people to get in their head that the Holy Spirit leads. Amen. Sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God, not bishops, cardinals, and so forth, but by the Spirit of God. That's God's idea. If you're a lamb, you're led of the Spirit of God. So even a gift that is a supernatural gift that Samson had, he gave the gift, he gave the ability, he surrendered that, but he didn't surrender his will. And so he used the gift with his own will. Right? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about our abilities and our gifts as tools. Right? You could have a shop, and you could have the fanciest, coolest, neatest, most up-to-date, whatever, techno, gizmo, awesome tool. You know, whether it's a metalworking tool or a woodworking tool or whatever it is. Fancy computer controlled, could, you know, they've got now these 3D printers where you can print things and, right? But that tool, it could be, could have all the ability in the world. It can do amazing things, right? That's your ability. That's your gift. But somebody has to operate it. Right now, if it's an amateur that walks in and just starts operating that thing, it isn't going to be pretty, right? You might get something out of it, right? But it's different than when a master craftsman walks up to the tool. Same tool. Has nothing to do with the ability of the tool, but it's the will behind it. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Our ability cannot be left in the hands of our own will. No matter how great our ability is, our ability must be in the hands of the Master. That's where I want it. Amen? Because God's given you, He's given each one of us unique gifts and abilities. And brother, sister, we need to surrender them. We need to use them. We need each other to surrender to the Spirit of God so that we can be used of Him and walk with Him and be led of Him. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 13:21. Just got a few little statements here and we'll finish up with these. He says, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Working in you that which is well-pleasing. Amen. To do every good work. And then in the Patmos vision, Brother Branham says, don't fear, John. Don't fear, little flock. Are you part of that little flock tonight? He says, speaking on behalf of Jesus, he says, all that I am, you are heir to. All my power is yours. My omnipotence is yours as I stand in your midst. I have not come to bring fear and failure, but love and courage and ability. All power is given unto me, and it's yours to use. You speak the word and I will perform it. That is my covenant and it can never fail. And brother, sister, it'll never work if you speak it out according to your own will. What does he say? He says, you speak the word. You speak the will of God. You speak what God has said. You say what he said. You submit your will to him. And he says, I'm here to give you love and courage and ability. If you'll step out on that word, he'll meet you there with the power. Lean not to thine own understanding. What do you think? When I was out there as a Baptist preacher and that angel of the Lord met me out there and commissioned me to go do this, what I'm doing? Why my pastor said, you've gone crazy. Why you had a nightmare? In other words, where's your ability? You've never been to school. You can barely preach. You don't even have an eighth grade education. Right? You never been to seminary? And if Brother Branham would have looked at those things, he never would have stepped out. But he was willing. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't understand it. I'm not leaning on my own ability here. But I'm willing, Lord. Look at what he says. He says, I said, you better take my fellowship card right now. Now he said, how can you, with not even a grammar school education, preach around the world? How can you ever pray for kings and potentates? And you can't even use your grammar right. He had no ability to lean on. He says, I wasn't trusting in my grammar. Hallelujah. I wasn't trusting in any ability I had. I was commissioned. Hallelujah. And I didn't go to reasoning. If I'd have listened to reason, there probably would have been thousands of people died years ago. Think about that, brother, sister. Because that man was willing. People's lives were saved. There probably been thousands of people died years ago. But I carried a message exactly like he said, around and around the world. Amen. It's important for you to step out in obedience and not look at your strengths and your abilities. Don't trust in any of your abilities. He says, God, perfect strength by perfect weakness. He says, God, let us empty ourselves up. Amen? We're too strong. Let us empty ourselves up. Get empty, friends. Get weak. What? Get weak? Yeah, get weak. Not weak in Him, but weak in yourself. Because Paul said, in that weakness is perfect strength. If we can get weak, that's where our victory lies, brother, sister. Brother Brown says, deny your own ability. Deny it. But what if I've got, deny it. But I'm good at, deny it. He says, pour yourselves out on God's altar as a sacrifice. Oh my. Nothing in my hands I bring. Nothing. Simply to thy cross I cling. He says, let the angel come with a coal of fire and fill that vessel with the power of Almighty God. He says, then He'll make you strong. He'll give you the grace to stand. That's what we need in this hour. We can't stand in this lukewarm age. You can't make yourself on fire. You feel yourself cooling off? You can't make yourself on fire. You have to empty out. You have to get down and surrender. Pour yourself out. Say, God, I can't do it. I can't make it in Laodicea. But Lord, I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to say, Lord, that I'm one of them. And I believe that You are going to make me able. You're going to give me the power to overcome. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Our success in overcoming is directly related to our ability to surrender, our level of the amount that we surrender, the amount that we give to Him, the amount that we empty out. One last quote here from the Laodicean church age. He says, O elect of God, beware. He says, study closely. Be careful. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Rely upon God. Rely upon God. And be strong in His might. Not our might. Not your might. Not your strength. Be strong in His might. He says, your adversary, the devil, is even now going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He says, watch unto prayer and be steadfast. This is the end time. Both the true and false vines are just coming into maturity. But before that wheat matures, those ripened tares must be bound for the burning. See? They're all joining the World Council of Churches. That is the binding. Soon the garnering of the wheat will come. See? We can't lose sight of this, brother, sister. We are in this time. It's a treacherous time. It's a time of life and death. He says, come out. Oh, he says, but right now the two spirits are at work in the two vines. He says, so come out from among the tares. Start to overcome that you may be considered praiseworthy for your Lord and fit to rule, reign and rule with Him. How do you become fit to rule and reign with Him? How do you become praiseworthy for your Lord? rely upon God, and be strong in His might. Be completely willing and surrendered. And He will make you able. He will give you the overcoming power. And it will be His power. And He's the one that gets the glory. It won't be your ability or your strength. Because you laid that down long ago. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. Musicians, if you'd come. Hallelujah. Amen. How many want to just step out tonight? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You know that God will meet you there.
Yes.
Amen. No matter what you're facing tonight, He's looking for you to step out.
Amen.
He's looking for you to be willing.
Yes.
He's not looking for you to look around and go, can I do this? Where's the strength? Where's the ability? How's this going to work? That's not what He's looking for. He's looking for you to say, Lord, I'm trusting You. I'm going to step out. And He's waiting to meet you there. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I'm so thankful tonight. Lord, that it's not up to me to save myself. It's not up to me to manifest this word, Lord. It's not left up to my own abilities, Lord, to do what You've called me to do in this hour, Father. But it's just up to me to surrender to You, to pour myself out, to get myself out of the way, to move my will off to the side and say, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. Lord, to look to You in everything. Every decision I make, Lord, even if it's something that I've done 100 times maybe. And I know how to do it and I know You've called me to do it and I've just... But yet to call upon You and say, Lord, lead me in this situation, Lord. Guide me. Be my strength. Help me not to lean on my own abilities, Lord. Even in my daily work, Lord, in my daily job, in my daily routine, in our families, in our homes, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to lean on our own strength. Help us not to look to our own abilities, Lord. But look to You for the overcoming power. Lord, I can't take another step without You. I admit that, Lord. I'm not just saying that. I know that to be true, Lord. I don't have another breath without You. I don't have another beat of my heart without You. I can't get up and go to work tomorrow without You, Lord. I couldn't come to church tonight, Lord, without Your strength, Lord. Without You. I want to be weak, Lord, so You can be strong. How many want to say that to the Lord? Lord, help me. Help me to pour myself out. Help me to become weak, Lord. Help me to completely just surrender, Lord. Lord, just see all those that desire that tonight, Father. Lord, we want to pour ourselves out to You, Lord, in a greater way. We know, Lord, that the hour is late and it's going to take a greater surrender. But Lord, we're not looking at our own strength to do it tonight, Lord. We're looking to You. The author, the finisher of our faith, the one who's our all in all. And Lord, we know that You're going to provide everything that we have need of. Thank You so much, Lord, for Your faithfulness. Thank You for the promise, Lord, of overcoming power. Thank you, Lord, that you said you would meet us right in our hour of need. That you would be there, oh God. And that you never fail, Lord. You never miss an appointment. We're the ones that mess things up, Lord. Oh God, forgive us, Lord, for missing your leading, Lord, at times. Lord, for going off without you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be led of your Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we're looking for that power, Lord, that you put into that stone when David slung it at Goliath. That's the kind of power we're looking for, Lord. When we take a natural step, Lord, you're there to provide supernatural power behind it. When we speak out a promise, Lord, when we confess your word, you're there with a supernatural power behind it. You're there, Lord, to bring healing and deliverance, Lord. You're there, Lord, to break the chains, Lord, and set the captives free. Hallelujah. We surrender to you tonight, Lord. I pray that you be with each one, Father. Lord, each one that desires that kind of a walk, Lord, desires to walk with you in a greater way. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship him tonight, brother, sister. Oh, he is worthy of our praise. He is the sufficient one. He is our all in all. He is our strength. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands to him tonight. Look to him as your strength tonight. Look to him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just give up tonight. I surrender.